Dissolution by Stefan Molyneux. freedomain.com/donate. Chapter 19. Shane, murmured Dr. Gunnar. Shane did not turn his dark eyes from the white wall. There was a beige stripe angling down towards a corner shelf with a slightly dusty plant and a picture of a serious, wide-eyed baby. Is that his baby? Wondered Shane. He felt the creases in his jeans pressing against his buttocks. This new chair was harder than the last one. Pamela's couch had been like quicksand. This was like a brick.
I don't like this sitting in silence stuff, said Dr. Gunnar. This isn't a safe space. I can see that you've had a few female therapists. I'm not going to be like that.
You... Shane cleared his throat. You get paid either way. Dr. Gunnar snorted.
I do. But I'm a thief if I take money without providing value. It's been 10 minutes. It's enough for now. I can give you another 10 minutes next week. But now, you have to talk.
Oh, God, groaned Shane. It's like, do I have to tell this stupid story again? For what?
Well, your family is concerned. But you know that. And don't really care.
Shane sighed. I know, I'm a heartless son of a bitch.
I didn't say that.
Oh, I know how this crap works, Doc. You say something leading, I complete the thought, then you say,
aha, that's projection, kiddo, we've uncovered your secret self.
Dr. Gunnar laughed.
Go on. Why? You make all these connections and give me all of these insights. And yeah, I'm honest, feels good for a moment or two, a day or two. But it's just a sandcastle. A house of cards. Tide comes in. Wind blows.
Insights are just a drug, Shane.
What?
Well, you took drugs, right? Hallucinogens? You had visions, right?
Saw deeply into the nature of things,
of life?
Yeah. Saw too much.
Well, what did you learn?
Shane paused. I learned that everything is kind of an illusion. People don't really exist. They're just programmed robots. Garbage in,
garbage out.
Irrelevant. Trying to get close to people is like trying to make a baby with a refrigerator. He sighed. It's like that Milgram experiment. Like everyone will torture you and 2/3 of people will kill you if someone in a white coat just nudges them in that direction. Shane shuddered. Life isn't like a zombie movie. It is a zombie movie. Society eats brains, shits out conformity, emptiness, a void of fragile and angry opinions pretending to be alive.
Dr. Gunnar nodded slowly. I get that. That couch is just a conveyor belt of broken people. Everyone starts to look like a patient after a while. My wife calls it the countdown to crazy. Meet people, have some fun, then bam, they open up and they're all nuts. Surface level only, she says. Nothing deeper or we're doomed.
What does she do?
Oh, same as me. But not as well, for men at least.
Shane cocked his head. No? Aren't you not supposed to talk about your life?
The older man shrugged. Eh, that's just a power play. Like the cops can interrogate you, you can't interrogate the cops, you know?
Shane said nothing.
It's a big problem. The red pill, the blue pill, and the black pill. So your insight that no one is real. Sorry for the philosophy 101, Shane, but does that include you?
Shane snorted. I'm the least real.
Go on.
I'm just a cliche, you know?
If I were a character in a book, the editor would say, hey, that Shane character is kind of a cliche. You need to flesh him out, make him more real, more believable. Give him some inner dialogue. Right now, he's just a piece of cardboard saying, don't do drugs, kids, okay? Dr. Gunnar nodded. Shane laughed bitterly. Come on, Doc. Ask me if I agree with the editor.
Do you feel like cardboard, Shane?
That's a good imitation. Empty as an echo. Dr. Gunnar pursed his lips.
Your parents talked about Regina. She introduced you to drugs?
Shane nodded. Do you have any contact with her now? I resist stalking her on socials.
When did you last talk?
Oh, it's been a while. Years.
What did she last say to you?
Oh, she needed some paperwork from me. And she asked me what the lyrics were to a Queen song. I'm going slightly mad.
Dr. Gunnar laughed. Subtle.
Well, she never was that.
So, the drugs told you that everyone was a robot.
Does that make them dangerous? What do you mean?
Well, zombies are dangerous.
Shane took a deep breath. No, not dangerous, really, just boring. Predictable. I hate McCain, I love McCain, that sort of thing. We must help the poor, helping the poor harms the poor. Men are bad, men run the infrastructure.
I could go on and on, but
everyone seems like... I used to play a lot of video games.
Time Taken.
And there were these characters in the games. They'd give you clues or sell you armor or whatever. And you could choose your dialogue options, like scroll up and down. Dialogue trees, everything pre-programmed. Nothing outside the fixed choices. That's people, you know.
I know you know.
Like my dad.
Ask for help. It's all boomer. Lift yourself up by your bootstraps, kiddo, like I did.
Like clockwork. Tick tock. Like a bomb. And my mom, well, she's all tears and guilt and this kind of weird support that feels like your bones are being pickpocketed. We have to find some way to move forward in this life, Shane.
He shuddered.
The death march to nowhere.
And you have a brother?
Oh, yeah. He's fucking perfect. A perfect beast. Like a Terminator. Wealth, power, status. I'm like the crazy uncle soundproofed in the attic.
How does he relate to your life situation?
Non-life situation. He's given up, Doc. I get it. I don't blame him. I would too. I have.
What does that mean, given up?
Oh, you know. Like I heard the sirens and got the sailors to cut me loose, and I swam a decade ago into death, and I'm just frothy and floating and waiting for the end.
For death.
Shane sighed heavily. No, Doc. I'm not any kind of imminent threat to myself or others. I'm not going that route again. No drugs, no lockups, nope, nope, nope.
Okay, I have to make a note of that.
Do what you want.
And your job?
I'm the proud owner of like 20... ex-cons and druggies who wear clothing for a living. Master of the damned. I work at a thrift warehouse. I know I don't enjoy it, but at least I don't have to fake anything. My guys, they know all about the zombies. You're either a zombie or a recovering zombie who finally sees the zombies, so...
No recovery is possible then?
Shane paused. No. No, I guess not.
And that is where you are.
Stuck.
Shane scowled. No, that is where we are all stuck.
You and I, we're going to get into this battle. You'll tell me to be happy. I'll say that happiness is bullshit. You'll fight my depression. I'll hit back at your happiness. And I'll land some blows, Doc. There's a reason you're therapist number 5. You sell a fake cure called going back to sleep, unknowing what is so obvious. But it's like when you grow up speaking English, you can never unlearn that. Like if you're in another country 40 years later, fluent in a whole new language, and the barbers are chatting away in English, you can't not know what they're saying. You can pretend to ignore the implications, sure, but comprehension is not subject to willpower, you know? So most people are programmed like video game characters. And me too, Doc. I'm a boring cliche too. And me. Yeah. You. Dr. Gunner pursed his lips. So, you come to therapy for your dad and mom. It makes them happy. Gives them hope that something will change. They're getting old. It's a small kindness. And you have no hope of change.
I like analogies.
I know. Shane sighed.
You ever have dreams about flying?
Yes, of course.
And then you wake up and...
Do you try to fly in the day? Dr. Gunnar laughed.
No. Right. It would be crazy to fly. Or try to. Flying was just a dream.
So, authenticity is a dream. Only robots are real.
Yes.
Yes. And there is no waking up from that nightmare because you have already woken up.
Right.
And I sell the illusion of waking up because I have not woken up. Shane cocked his head.
Not sure about that one, Chief. What percentage of the world is dysfunctional?
I'm not going to ask you to define, well, around the whole world. Most of it, of course.
Percentage.
All in all, 95%.
Maybe higher. And you are in the enlightened single digits.
Yes.
So, how do you do it? Seeing the skinless.
The what?
You ever look at a beautiful woman and... You know they say that beauty is only skin deep, and that's because if you peel off her skin, a couple of millimeters really, she's just tendons and hanging eyeballs and tooth roots. I can't see skin anymore. Just muscles and bone and tendons and walking blood. You must see the same thing, Dr. Gunner. Like that kid in The Sixth Sense. I see dead people. I see sick people. Do you just turn it off? You have special contact lenses to put the skin back on the skinless?
If you're healthier,
well, we put people in asylums who really see that the world is an asylum. Women voting to import men who will attack them and never changing their minds. Everyone siding with the most irrational, screwing over the most reasonable. Society saying it cares about children, but herding them into these terrible, violent schools that...
Shane's voice caught.
And drugging them, the boys, for being bored and using babies as collateral to get money to buy votes.
Shane's eyes were red.
And the internet. The internet brings the truth. And the truth is that there is nothing but lies in the world. That Satan, the father of lies, runs everything. And I know that sounds fundamentalist, but that's not me. God, I wish it were, because I can see the devil everywhere, but I can't find my way to God at all. Maybe that's all there is. And the devil told us about a made-up God just to torture us more. Dr. Gunner took a deep breath. Shane said, "How many sane people in your family, your wife's family, your social circle?" "I can't give therapy to people I know." The younger man's lips curled in contempt. "Dodging. And you're the professional." He held up his hand. "Now you're going to say that it's not appropriate to talk about your life, but that ship's already sailed, Dr. Cobb. And you won't answer the question, honestly. Because we know that it's almost none. And you only get out of bed because you ignore that fact. And I bet you have friends who are totally screwed up and have never asked you for help, even a reference. And you trundle along like a blind little Thomas the Tank Engine. Chug, chug, no matter, I can't save all the fish drying out in the tide pools, but I can save this one and that one, and I am a good little tank engine because I still think there is a sea out there I can toss the fish towards. But it's just a desert. You're really just killing the fish, taking them from their last home and tossing them gasping into the sand. And if they had pockets and wallets, you'd take those too, just as you're taking my dad's money." Dr. Gunnar's cheeks were colored. Shane stared at him. "Not so much fun when the rabbit's got a gun, hey, Doc?"
"That's quite a case.
Therapy is mostly bullshit. But there's a great coffee shop next door. I get a half liter of milk and a spicy Jamaican patty after this nonsense goes down smooth. My dad still pays my rent."
"Is your brother successful?"
Shane barked out a laugh.
"Sure. Ignore it all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's successful. Makes a fortune. Formerly gorgeous wife. But only aristocratic women age well. Trailer park girls just get wrinkled and trashy. Meth for breakfast, anyone?"
"So, successful people are failures because they're blind. And waking up makes you a failure because you've learned the truth that everything is a lie."
Shane nodded.
"Yeah.
And I'm such a bullshit artist that even I hate it when my oh-so-deep thoughts are reduced to their essential components." He paused. "Yes.
And telling the truth,
that gets you killed."
"Go on."
"Oh, come on. Plato, Socrates, or ostracized, Aristotle, Jesus, Galileo, or tortured. You know, the doctor who suggested it might be wise to wash your hands before sticking them in someone else's innards was driven out of his profession and tossed into an insane asylum where he ended up being beaten to death by an orderly. Even Freud, that cocaine psycho, was threatened if he exposed child rape among the Austrian elites. So he betrayed the child victims by pretending that they secretly wanted to have sex with good old mommy and daddy. And you lot, are just drug pushers, right? I've had a dozen speeches on brain chemistry imbalances, and whenever I ask for the medical test to prove that, or even which meds I should take, I just get this 1,000-yard pharmacox stare.
I don't prescribe.
Yeah? But you don't fucking speak out about those who do, right? Psychologists aren't organizing to protest the endless drugging of kids and those who have woken up, right? Do you believe in the chemical imbalance theory, huh?"
There's no robust evidence to support it."
Shane snorted. "Prevarication. You don't want to stick your head over the parapet? Imagine if you spoke up and truly threatened a multi-billion-dollar ripoff, Doc. You'd get a horse's head in the bed and your kids would vanish on the way to school. Druggies kill for $50, kiddo. Drug pushers? You've got to be kidding me." "Take a breath, Shane." "Yeah. Yeah. You got a panic button under there, Doc? Gonna have me hauled away?" He laughed. "You know, one psychiatrist laid out a bunch of meds on his desk and told me to pick one or two or a few. He didn't care.
He just wanted to get his fucking money. After talking to me for 10 minutes, he wanted to fry my brain with SSRIs and benzos. And if they are so good, why is mental health getting worse and worse and worse? When they started washing their hands like surgeons, infections went down, right? Now everyone's getting crazier, even though you lot claim to have found the cure. And you're scared, Dr. Gunnar. Not because I'm angry, but because I'm right!